Now, I just want to give a little ears warning for our next chat, because on yesterday's programme, we chatted to author Jenny Ag about her new book. It's called Life Almost, and how she hopes to remove the taboo surrounding miscarriage after her own experience of pregnancy loss, which was not only upsetting, but also the experience, it shocked her. It really shocked her, as she didn't know what to expect, and she comes from the medical profession herself. Have a listen to Jenny from yesterday's show.
The first time, what shocked me the most was kind of how traumatic that physical experience was, because I think I'd probably heard people kind of throw around word like, you know, it's just a heavy period, or, you know, yeah, things like that. And I think I'd somehow in my imagination, I think I thought if I had a miscarriage, I think I thought the pregnancy would just stop or just sort of fade away. You know, I had to go to A&E. They were very worried about how much blood I was losing. And not every miscarriage is like that, but I think that was it, really.
We had such a big reaction after our conversation with Jenny from listeners who had experienced miscarriage. So we really wanted to return to the conversation. Here's just one text that sums up what women were telling us. It says, thank you for opening up the conversation on not only the emotional, but the physical side of miscarriage. I went through a loss 2 weeks ago and was not informed how painful the loss could be physically. Labour pain, cramping, not period type cramps, huge blood loss, and a rush to hospital for a forceps removal. This sense of shock at the physical side of miscarriage is what really came through again and again and again in the text yesterday. I was quite overwhelmed by it all, but I read every single one of them, and many had no idea what to expect, and they felt they had, if they had better prepared or known a little bit more, it might have helped them even a little, even somewhat. So for our texters yesterday, this is too late, but they all suggested that this conversation needs to be had to help others, to ensure that others don't have to experience that sense of physical shock. And so this morning, it's a really difficult conversation, but we're going to ask those tough questions. Brenda Casey is clinical midwife specialist in bereavement and loss with the National Maternity Hospital, and she joins me on the line now. Brenda, good morning.
Hi, Jen. Thanks very much for having me on.
And thanks for doing this. And before we go any further, I just want to mention that this chat will detail pregnancy loss and might be upsetting to some listeners before we go on. But Brenda, during our conversation with Jenny yesterday, she talked about a number of phrases surrounding pregnancy loss, and we wanted to give it just a bit more information on them. First of all, what's a missed miscarriage?
So a missed miscarriage is when a baby dies in the womb, but the woman has no physical symptoms or pain. And it's usually diagnosed on a routine ultrasound or as part of the antenatal care. So, you know, anything we hear about miscarriage, generally it's about pain or bleeding. So this comes as a huge shock to women and their partners when it's diagnosed at a time when they, you know, anticipate excitement and seeing their baby for the first time.
And we hear about ectopic pregnancies, but what is that?
So an ectopic pregnancy is when a fertilized egg starts to grow somewhere other than the normal lining of the womb, usually in one of the two fallopian tubes. It's quite rare. It affects about 1 in 100 pregnancies. And it can be potentially life-threatening if not treated quickly. And the symptoms of it can be bleeding, abdominal pain, and then another symptom that people may not even remotely put with pregnancy is shoulder tip pain. We often don't know why that happens, but there's some people will say that the nerves in the lower abdomen are linked to the shoulder. So that can be a symptom of it as well.
Brenda, should you always go to hospital, even if it's considered very early?
Not necessarily, but if a woman has had a positive pregnancy test and she's concerned, it's you know, that concern is valid. So it will be very important to link in with an appropriate health professional, either her GP or all of the 19 maternity units have a clinical midwife specialist in bereavement since the standards were implemented. So even a phone call or an email to the bereavement midwife could be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you explain what a DNC is?
A DNC is layman's terms for a surgical procedure, which is abbreviated as an ERPC. It's a day procedure whereby the pregnancy tissue is removed from the uterus.
Okay.
And it's indicated clinically in some pregnancies. But when women are diagnosed with a miscarriage, there's generally, I know in our hospital anyway, and the standard practice should be that a conversation is had with the woman as regarding her management options, and collaboratively a decision is made then on what she wants. So some women do opt for the surgical management of a DNC because it's, you're in and out of the hospital reasonably quickly, and it's a safe procedure as a day case.
Okay.
Most of the time.
So why do sometimes people have a DNC and then sometimes people are sent home to see, quote unquote, we've heard this quite a lot yesterday, nature will take its course?
Yeah. Again, a collaborative discussion with the woman and her partner. Some women choose to let nature take its course. And some women choose to have medical management. So some women are afraid of an anaesthetic. You know, there are risks with anaesthesia. And some women then choose to have the surgery, you know.
Okay.
It's a choice, yeah.
And just so women are aware of, so you go under anaesthetic when you have your DNC?
Yes.
And can your partner, if you have one, or a friend, can somebody be with you?
Yes, somebody can come to the hospital with you, obviously not in the operating theatre, but certainly in the National Maternity Hospital, partners are present if the woman wants that.
Yeah. And Brenda, if you're at home and you let nature take its course and it happens at home, or even, you know, it happens and you weren't able to get to a hospital, what would you do if there were remains involved?
You know, we're talking of, there's a lot of conversations lately about miscarriage, and it tends to focus mainly on the emotional aspect. However, my experience is that the physical experience is often overlooked, and your Jenny yesterday, you know, alluded to that. And it can be very traumatic. And I think that we as health professionals aren't explicit enough about what the physical experience can be like at home. I think it's often minimized, or you may have some bleeding, or you may pass some tissue. I run a miscarriage support group in the National Maternity Hospital, and this is a theme that comes up regularly. One woman said, well, you know, to me, tissue is a box of Kleenex, you know. So if remains are passed, I mean, that can be very, very traumatic and unexpected. Again, I would suggest linking in with the bereavement midwife. She would be the most appropriate person to deal and advise in a compassionate way about how to manage the remains.
Do you bring them to hospital, though? I mean, I'd be interested to know if it happened. Like, what would I do with them? Do I put them in a box and bury them under a tree in my garden? Do I take them to a hospital? Like, what? I'm not knowing what to do. I know this is really difficult to get you to answer, but what would you advise women to do?
Yeah, if a woman passes remains at home, again, I suppose it depends on her clinical picture. For example, if it's her third consecutive miscarriage, now that's quite rare in the region of 1% to 2% of pregnancies and miscarriages. If remains are passed at home, we would advocate for the woman to bring the remains into the emergency department, and they would be sent to the laboratory for cytogenetic testing, because that would be the management of recurrent miscarriages.
Sure.
In the case when a woman has, say, for example, it's her first experience of miscarriage, we wouldn't really be recommending bringing the remains into the hospital. I guess that how a woman copes, reacts following a miscarriage is really dependent on what the pregnancy meant to her. So women that I would have met and spoken to would often bury the remains in a family plot that they may already have, once they've got permission from the person who, I suppose, technically owns the plot. Some women bury the remains in their garden, or somewhere meaningful for them. So it's a very individual response.
Let's hope they all have a garden.
Well, yeah, not everybody does.
Do you think stuff like that should be looked at? I mean, with the amount of women that go through this, and unfortunately a lot of it happens, and some of it happens at home, but I mean, I can't imagine the trauma of that. And we heard during our conversation yesterday, so many women just being left traumatized. I'm sure you've met these women, Brenda, after a miscarriage. What mm-hmm. services of support are available here in Ireland?
So I feel that personally an awful lot of women and their partners feel that their grief isn't justified because, you know, there was no baby, or they may not physically have looked pregnant, they may not have told many, many people. And it's very much a disenfranchised grief. It's a grief that's not openly acknowledged, publicly supported, or publicly mourned. And recent research in the UK that was alluded to yesterday shows that 20% of women show signs of post-traumatic stress symptoms, you know, for a significant amount of time after early miscarriage. And there is support out there. It's just, I suppose, maybe people don't know about it. The Miscarriage Association provide online support groups and now back in-person support groups as well around the country. I run a first trimester miscarriage support group in the National Maternity Hospital, and that's for women who've experienced molar pregnancies and ectopic pregnancies as well. And women that have attended that will tell me afterwards that, you know, they realise, God, I'm not going mad. I'm not the only person going through this. And it's a safe space to have their grief normalised and their feelings validated. Since the standards were launched in 2016 around pregnancy loss, there's a really good website called Pregnancy and Infant Loss. It's like a one-stop shop for support resources around the country as well for women experiencing first trimester miscarriage.
And thank God for people like you and these services. Brenda, do you think more needs to be done with services?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, my support group is the only midwifery-led one in the country.
Wow.
The others are run really well by, you know, voluntary support groups in their own time, and they do amazing work. And the conversation is opening up, but I think it needs to open up more. I know some organisations are offering miscarriage leave. I think Lidl and the Bank of Ireland have recently acknowledged the impact of miscarriage on women. So thankfully that's beginning to open up as well. But I think, as you mentioned yesterday, you know, when a celebrity has a miscarriage or someone that's quite well known to the conversation, and then it dies down again. But miscarriage is the most common complication in pregnancy. So absolutely more needs to be done.
I just got a text in saying, tissue doesn't cover it all, Jennifer. I can still see the remains of my baby in the toilet. It had happened before I realised. The pain was horrendous. The whole experience was so awful.
Yeah.
If someone goes through that, would it be a case that they can pick up the phone straight away and get some advice and help?
Absolutely. But they need to get the right advice from the right person. You know, if they ring the hospital switch, they can be put through to, you know, all over the hospital and be more traumatized and feel so vulnerable and unsupported. So, and I imagine that poor lady, you know, the flashbacks that she can get and the feelings of guilt and shame, and mm-hmm. it's a very complex emotional experience.
Brenda, I just want to thank you so much for taking our call and bringing our attention to the services and all the good work that you do. I really appreciate your time. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny.
Bye.
Thank
Brenda.
You.
There we go. Brenda Casey is a clinical midwife specialist in bereavement and loss with the National Maternity Hospital. That was difficult. And if you have been affected by our chat this morning, the Miscarriage Association of Ireland holds support events online and in person. The text line is open if you would like to get in touch with me. I'm here for you, 51552. 2FM, Jen Zamparelli. We had a pretty harrowing but informative chat about miscarriages, and I think it's really, really important we have these conversations. I have learned a lot. I know you guys did. And you've educated me as well with the text coming in on 51552. I got a text in saying, "Hi Jen, I'm currently experiencing my second miscarriage. I was told the option of a DNC would only be offered if it hasn't passed itself in 10 days. That is just outrageous. I'm currently on day 3 of hiding at home in fear of what's to come for a second time. You're told nothing, only you may bleed and have some period-like cramps. You can take painkillers and use hot water bottle. I understand hospitals are all different and under a lot of pressure, and most of the staff are amazing, but it's disgraceful. I have to go back to the EPU for the 4th time next week and sit for hours in a waiting room full of pregnant ladies when I know my pregnancy is over. Thank you so much for highlighting this. Anonymous, please." So many texts like this. We just need to do better. And we start by having this conversation. As difficult as it is to listen to, and these messages are so sad to read. I got another text in saying, "Thank you for holding such an informative, supportive conversation regarding miscarriage. I am a midwife in Galway. And listening to you and Brenda we had on, Brenda Casey is a clinical midwife and specialises in bereavement and loss with the National Maternity Hospital. And listening to you and Brenda speak about miscarriage has better informed my practice and helped me have more knowledge around such an important topic. Why even people in the medical professional world still are at a loss for words and can't really answer some questions and don't really know what to do, considering a lot of women, most women, will go through this experience. It's just not good enough. These conversations are important. I hope we're all more informed. And I just want to direct you to visit miscarriage.ie for any information or if you've been affected by anything we've spoken about today. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.